This is CliffCentral.com.
So much to talk about, so much to look forward to in Zimbabwe, and 2017, of course, was such a marathon of events in this our nation, Zimbabwe. From Robert Mugabe banning Zodwa Wabantu from performing in his Zimbabwe, to Robert Mugabe resigning from presidency in his Zimbabwe again. So we spoke about making the choice to vote, depression, the not coup d'etat, the opposition in Zimbabwe, the position of human rights within this new dispensation, right here on the Gilmore T Vibe on Clips Central. I hope you are having a blissful new year. I am, and my name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen. Let's talk Zimbabwe. Right. Today we talk about some of the happenings that took place during the holidays and how this had an impact in the local arts and business, especially for people that are actually operating within the creative spaces. What are the highlights? What are the laws, the reflections, the expectations, whatever else is expected of this new year, our new president, the new dispensation, the new cabinet, or a new way of understanding our own lives. We have so many new things that happened, but we can't run away from the fact that politics took over the entire 2017 in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, well, politics has taken over the entire 37 years. just that 2017 politics won the race. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't much to talk about socially, yeah, economically, religiously, you know, the pastors and prophets have been watered down now.
Completely.
You know, they're
completely
being exposed for what they really are. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I went on holiday, actually. Not really on holiday. I traveled a little bit.
Your Facebook said it, or Twitter. I mean, you.
No need to even mention it.
No need to
mention it. I even got a cold during the holiday. So I went on holiday. I was in the Vic Falls. You know, mm-hmm, that's like one of the seven wonders of the world. And if you have never been to Victoria Falls, you actually need to go there. It's in Zimbabwe, by the way. It's not in Zambia.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only place everyone ever goes. It's like we don't have Chimanimani, Vumba, we don't have Matopos, we don't have all these other places. Like, I mean, I discovered a lot of places that you could go on holiday.
Have you been
that
to
I've not
places?
Just I've been to Mdare, to Vumba, I've been to Chimanimani. There's waterfalls out there as well.
Yeah. Besides the Vic Falls only.
Besides the Vic Falls.
I also got a tattoo, you know, during the holidays.
You completed your tattoo.
I completed my tattoo.
Wow.
Eventually, wow. And everyone kept looking at me with an eye, especially my family, like, why do you have a tattoo? You know, tattoos and families and things like that, they don't believe in body art. But mm-hmm, I mean, that's my own way of expressing myself.
You should. People should express themselves as much as they can.
Yeah.
So,
if you are listening to the Gilmore T Vibe, please let us know what you were up to during the holidays. We'd love to know. So the hashtag on the social media platforms is GTEEVibe. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com and tweet me at Gilmore TEE. Do you also want people to tweet you, Tom?
Yeah, people can tweet me. Nobody ever tweets me. You know, I'm this untweeted dude.
What's your handle? Because people might not know your handle, actually.
At Umelapi, UMELAPHI.
Ah, Umelapi. Doesn't that mean like a doctor?
One of my favorite books of all time, uh-huh, is The Healers by Ayikwe Ama. Uh-huh. And for a long time, I masqueraded as a healer after having read that book and been inspired by it.
Yeah.
To only discover that's what my surname actually means.
Ah.
You know, it means the healer, meaning Umelapi in Ndebele. It's a sort of surname though. Mm.
Yeah, so you are the healer.
Yeah.
Are you like sort of like one of those traditional healers or prophets? Or because there's a lot of those in Zimbabwe at the moment.
Not really traditional. But I like to believe most of what I do is to reach out to a fellow human being's soul, fellow human being's mind. Mm-hmm. It's not just stuff that I do, that is supposed to end at face value. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not calm.
It's not calm.
It's deeper than that.
It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
And 2017 for you, what was like your biggest highlights of all times in Zimbabwe, especially being a Zimbabwean and proudly Zimbabwean you are?
One, I'm not proudly Zimbabwean.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
And two, I'm not really big on highlights.
All right.
Yeah, I'm the everyday type of person.
No, but there's obviously one thing that stood out for you, though.
Yeah. Well, we got the podcast on Cliff Central.
Yeah, that has to be a hooray.
Yeah, no champagne. You know, we get more hours for more talk time, you know. But otherwise, also getting the TV show Tatawana off the ground.
It was a big highlight because I think the first three or four weeks were hitting like number one on social media platforms in terms of trending.
Yes.
So, I mean, not many shows on ZBC TV can actually brag about
that. We got an award nomination at our fourth episode.
Ridiculous. I mean, yes. we appreciate it, but then for me, I just didn't think it was worth not really worth as such because we put so much work into it, but I didn't think we're at that stage to receive a nomination.
We're not there yet, which is what I'm saying. So yeah, well,
politics is everywhere. Politics is in Zimbabwe. Politics is in the bedroom. Politics is in arts. Politics is everywhere. Hit us up on our social media platforms and please don't you go anywhere. I've got a cold, it's terrible, but we'll just sail through. Talking about the festive season, there was a lot of activities that happened. I mean, in general, in Zimbabwe, there's a lot of activities, especially that happens within the arts sector. You're talking about your festivals, your shows, your carnivals, like the recent Victoria Falls Carnival. And one of the biggest highlights in terms of entertainment was the Galawa Homecoming concert. So obviously, with all that happening, there's a lot of talk around it. Either is it benefiting the local people? Is it benefiting the local artists? What does it do to the local arts in Zimbabwe, per se? What are your thoughts, Tom?
First and foremost, I know it gets the local artists arrested.
Oh, they get arrested?
Yeah.
Oh, well, uncle, you got arrested.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert and say so-and-so was wrong or so-and-so. The thing is, all I know is people work together, manage to lend each other in the police's hands, right? Well, that's their personal issues. But then I saw this video. Seemingly, Ezra was recording.
Ezra Chisa.
The video ended up on social media. And Oskido's talking all this stuff about how, you know, he doesn't make anything of the show.
But then
he's doing it for the people.
Which people is he doing it for?
My question exactly. Like, I mean, how are you going to come here and say you're doing a show like Galawa? You know, I mean, they are business people, understand they're making money. Although he claims they're not making any money.
So that's where my question, I have a question on that, because he claims that he doesn't make any money. I was reading an article in the Chronicle where Oskido is like, I don't make any money at all, I'm doing this for the people. My question is, if you're doing a business and you don't make money, you should just stop doing that business, because it doesn't
edify anything.
That investment,
you keep investing in a bad investment if it doesn't make money. But at the end of the day, my point is, he says he's doing it for the people.
Which people?
What exactly is it doing for the people, and what does this doing for the people thing mean? Because you can't come to a place where the bulk of the population live on less than $1 a day.
Yeah.
You have a $15 show that people who are unemployed, because the bulk of the following of the music that they have at that
show, unemployed.
Are unemployed youth, young people who follow GOM. I don't think somebody my age or older is there unless they are ignorant or they are actually making money off that show.
I think most of people are there.
And you're charging, how much was the ticket?
It was $15, and then there's another one for $40.
Another one for $40. See, there's people.
That's US dollars, by the way.
There's people who can live the VIP life, but it's not a lot of us. It's a handful in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
So you can't be doing something for the people when you have a show that has music that promotes substance abuse, these high levels of substance abuse there.
Exactly.
You know? In a very poverty-stricken environment, and you are making people pay so much.
And then you go on to say you're doing it for the people and you're not making any money from this.
Sometimes I think we throw around this "I'm doing it for the people" term a lot without really thinking through what it means. Maybe he's doing it for his people who benefit off
the artists.
Show. Not even the artists. How many artists are there? How many local artists are there? I can see there was Kelvin, Guabacha, people who are actually on
the poster.
Kelvin
there?
I don't know if it was ASAP or Kuluva, and
most of the artists were from South Africa that came through to perform.
You know, which for me, I think are the biggest beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at local artists, for years they've been sidelined. People had to complain to get onto that platform.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they do get on the platform, mm-hmm. how much do they make?
Exactly. I'm sure they get like $100 or $200. Yeah.
And I'm not saying pay them money if they didn't pull the crowd. Also, artists need to understand, if it's a business, you also need to pull the crowd to make the money. Mm. You know, I think the Oskido and them probably know, okay, Wingiti is going to bring in 1,000 people.
Exactly.
So he's worth
paying whatever
amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, Ja Prayzah is going to bring in 1.5, so he's worth paying. Professor's gonna bring in 3,000 people, you know, and things like that. So also local artists need to up their game. But then again, I think the organizers, Oskido per se, because I saw him on the video looking really pissed off. I think somebody pissed him off in SA. I don't even know whether it was the you know, the new president of the NC voted in, that really pissed him off.
Or maybe Fly SAA, because they always piss people off too.
They piss people off, I don't know. But when he came here, he was pissed off, which is what Landon Gu in police custody, and it really got messy, you know, and him saying all that stuff. But then again, don't say you're doing it for the people when the show already is exhibiting a lot of social and moral decay to begin with.
And my biggest problem, I think, also with Oskido is every time he pulls this, I'm doing it for the people, I'm doing it for Bulaya, for Zimbabwe, when it's Kalawa time. Mm-hmm. Throughout the year, he's quiet. So he knows how to make noise and scream all over when he wants to come down and do the homecoming Kalawa. Again, he's a businessman, but he just needs to drop the whole charity thing.
Maybe it's part of the marketing, you know, where he is now doing it for the people.
So people sympathy can
marketing, yes, that kind of thing.
No, but I think it should know better than that.
And claiming that he doesn't make anything.
No, rubbish.
You know, the sympathy marketing, you know. I think he's made a success of himself to be able to be up straight, up front with the way he does his business. No one is going to question him. This guy's come a long way.
You know,
so you don't get to a place and insult people's intelligence. Maybe he actually doesn't make anything, which is what I'm saying. Maybe he's
maybe
going for his people.
Just
maybe his young boys are the ones who benefit, and he's like, I don't know. I don't think all these artists who are on this roster here can leave Harare and SA for nothing.
No, never. Never.
You know,
they make lots of money, because I've been to a homecoming Kalawa show once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be so packed, you can hardly breathe. You can hardly feel your balls in that crowd.
Wow. Why would you want to feel your balls?
That's how crowded it is. There's so many people. And also the other thing, there's so much high crime, like criminal activity happening during that time.
People's phones getting stolen. Mm. You know, people's privacy rights or whatever getting violated. And a lot of stuff they sell. I know, I tried to attend one by this funniest group who didn't get on stage until 2 a.m. So, yeah. And, what was it they called? Mikasa. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, like,
whatever.
Yes. So they push a lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And they make money.
A lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, and I was there, and there's all these little kids that are the size of my niece or whatever.
They're like 16 or
right there, drunk as hell, causing violent fights, you know, substance abuse.
But no one does something, not anything to them. They just leave those kids around.
You know, that's what it is. And this is the back of which all these guys are making money and claiming they are doing it for the people.
That makes me wonder, because if he's doing it for the people, where is the protection of these young people? It's
exactly.
Like every time when you go there, you feel out of place, because you feel like you're in primary school, not even just high school. Like the 16 years, the 15 year olds, they're around there, they're sticking around, they're drunk, some of them can't even stand up, some of them are lying on the floor, on the lawn or whatever,
growing up, whatever, drunk. And it's even sad when it's young girls. We should be protecting these little girls. This world has become so dangerous, so terrible. You know, we should protect everybody, young girls and boys, but even more young girls, because women have been sidelined and oppressed and denigrated for years, you know.
True.
And then here's this show that is claiming to have been doing it for the people, you know, pushing this.
Ridiculous, yeah.
This denigration, this very thing that we should be trying to, you know, correct in our societies.
Talking about the ridiculousness that's happening or that happened during the festive season, would like to hear if any one of you went and attended the homecoming galawa in Bulawayo, and what were your thoughts about it? What are your thoughts about this whole Oskido saying he's just doing it and he doesn't make money? Let us know on social media platforms. Already you know our hashtag, or should we repeat them over and over?
And what are your thoughts about Nku being arrested?
Yeah, so Nku is Kudio is one of our artists.
No, I mean, as much as, you know, philosophies might differ, Nku's done quite an amount, respectable amount. I don't know if he's done enough to be in the so-called big five that once caused the hullabaloo. But now, the thing is, he tries. He does a lot, even if it's for personal gain, for the arts, you know. He is the what is it called?
He's a mafia. I'm kidding.
No. There's this term that I saw on social media
about him.
Is it pro bono director of Intwas? I don't know.
He's a pro bono director of the Intwasa Festival.
I don't know. I saw some word like that. Like, you know, like we know you are up next.
But you know what? The funny thing, at some point I felt that was a PR strategy, him being arrested and them taking it. I mean, why would Ezra Carey film that thing in a police station? Like, are you allowed to do such things?
No. Yeah. I mean, yes. We basically, I think we can stretch since this is the WhatsApp group that Shinamas was supposed to head, I don't know what happened to that. But with cyber
rights,
whatever, blah, 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 right? I'm sure we can stretch that to a respectable amount. In the sense that they were in there and Nku was the victim, not Ezra.
Yes.
Right? So I should like to think Ezra was at liberty to film what he was filming.
But is it allowed? Because this is also government premises. Government premises, you are not allowed to just film things. You can't even do that at the National Museum.
Museum, I understand what they're protecting. Art galleries, I understand what they're protecting.
The Parliament also.
Parliament as well. I don't know why they wouldn't allow you to do it at the Parliament. Unless maybe they're afraid you might peddle the wrong things, because ZPC does film parliament sessions, right?
But they are a government-owned parastatal. Yeah.
I mean, being allowed or not being allowed, places that actually don't allow you to film have the no filming or photography sign.
Okay. But in a police station, are you allowed to film?
In a police station, I'm sure I've seen a lot of videos that come from police stations.
Okay, all right.
You know, different police stations, of course, in front of police. So I think police all along were taking advantage of people using their authority, not because it's tabulated down where, no, you're not allowed to film.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose gathering whatever evidence of whatever situation,
like this particular situation,
you know. But if a police officer feels like, no, I can shut you down, and it also dependent on what capacity you are there as.
All right,
you know, and
I guess also like, the police were excited to see Oskido, so they didn't
mind. And Ezra as well.
Yeah,
Ezra is not always around, so maybe the police were excited to see him, so they were not going to arrest him for filming inside a police station because they really wanted a selfie with him after that, you know.
No, listen up. We can have as many theories as we want for ourselves in studio, but we spoke to some of the most renowned artists or respected individuals in the arts sector. Tinashe Tafirenyika, she's an award-winning poet, right?
Yes, she's an award-winning poet. I think she's got more than one award.
Okay, so she's a renowned artist, poet in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And Ed St. Viles is also very much involved in the arts. He's also a poet, apparently.
He's not a renowned Twitterer.
No, he's a renowned poet also. Okay. And Twitterer. And Nkunkala, known as Kulio, we don't know which name to call him. We spoke to him and he's a Nyangara. So they had so much to say. And our question basically was based on their experience with the festivals, carnivals, and other arts platforms. What do they think, or what would they say in terms of the standard of our arts? Where are we in Zimbabwe? And this is what they had to say.
Zimbabwean artists do have the capacity, and some of them do go out of the way to make really good art. But if there's no return, fewer and fewer people will be that concerned about the quality and standard of their art.
When it comes to arts and Bulawayo, it has never been a question of whether the standard is high or low. It's always been a question of audiences. In terms of quality, we've always produced quality art, which is why we're the biggest exporter of talent when it comes to talent in Zimbabwe. At the end of the day, one way or the other, most of our artists are winning awards across the world. Our artists have programs in other countries doing amazing things. You talk in the fashion sense, the Arakan is in SA. Talk of Gilmore with this podcast, for instance. Talk of Black Mfolo, see Globetrotting. Talk of Asaf producing his latest album and being in the top five hip-hop artists to look out for in the South.
We're able to produce good art.
Whilst we're trying very hard to catch up with the rest of the world in terms of standard, I think we are lagging way behind. Our standards are very low compared to, compared to South Africa. But that being said, I think we are, our local artists are working hard towards meeting international standards. I think they lack motivation and support from locals here, but they are trying.
Our shows are not that bad, you know. On Carnival, Ntwasa, Shoko, Haifa, I can say they're quite good, but then it's different, like per show, because like, let's say Ntwasa, you know, those guys are good. They've got years in the game. I mean, they have a team that has been in this arts industry for years. But now, recently, I think the business side is what's messing them up. You know, corporates, sponsorships pull out. They don't have some things at the last minute and all that, but then that, because they have years and experience, they should know how to handle business also. You know, the business side of us, because they eat from there and we want to enjoy the show. So they should know what makes things happen. You know, the crowd, the audience, the fans of Ntwasa, are they, most of their venues fill up. So that's like a bargaining factor which you can take to a corporate and say, hey, I got the numbers, I can make you shine. So give me something and we make things happen. You know, this company is a corporate social responsibility. Ask them what they're doing towards the arts industry in Bulawayo. And Ntwasa actually also came through December. That was like a new formula they were testing out, but then it came out dope. It came out dope. You know, I don't know if they had a lot of sponsorships, if they had any sponsorships for that, but it came out. You know, it showed, it proved that, you know, people are there. People will support if you do something nice for them. For real. You know?
Wow, did you hear Nku? He still sounds like he's hungover from the festive season.
Nah, he's still got that jailbird thing in him.
The jailbird. No, it sounds like he's still drinking away. He had too many drinks maybe just before we spoke.
No, but I think he had a lot of hard work considering that this Ntwasa Extra was going on. How many nights was that? Four or so nights. Mm-hmm. I attended the comedy show.
How was it?
I mean, it was amazing and not amazing at the same time.
What was not amazing about it? Because we're talking about the quality of our arts.
Yeah, which I think the comedy show was a good platform to actually interrogate that.
Yes.
Because I went to the comedy show because some of my favorite comedians were performing. You got Dando.
Yes.
He's one of my favorite local comedians.
Really?
Okay. I think Dando's underrated.
No, but has it changed? Because last time when I took one of my uncles to a comedy show that he was actually performing at, I think I was really embarrassed just, you know, throughout the entire thing, because the only thing that he spoke about was vaginas and dicks and boobs and things like that. And my uncle was there with his wife, which happens to be my aunt.
Which should be comfortable for them.
Yeah, no, but then the thing is, like, is comedy all about vulgar things? Is it all about these very explicit sexual things, or it can, you can talk about any other things and make fun of it.
Which is the point is I feel like for Ntando, I suppose maybe I give him a lot of credit coming from the side that I know him when he was still fumbling about trying to figure out what this is. Just and like he's worked really hard to building the comedy brand, comedy name in Bulawayo to where it is today, where you can have 6-7 other comedians.
Coming from him?
Not really from him. I can't say from him, but through that Umahlekisa brand, a lot of people have come up.
So we're giving like free advertisement. He should be paying for this.
You know, he should be paying for this, but, you know, unfortunately. So yeah, I feel for a long while he's been so underrated, he's even begun to underrate himself. He doesn't... I said there that comedy show, and he was there. Carl, one of my favorite comedians also, comics, I mean...
By the way, he lost his phone at the Victoria Falls Carnival.
He lost his phone at the Victoria Falls Carnival. I think the people who go to the Kalawa shows...
Came to the Victoria Falls Carnival.
...have invested in...
Shade. Anyway, you were saying...
Yeah, Carl, also one of my favorite comics. So now this is the thing. You go there because I went there specifically. I don't go out much. I went there specifically because of those two guys.
All right.
You know, and I mean, I'm expecting a blast. And finally, I was more impressed by the younger guys.
Okay. How many younger guys did they bring
up? I think there was Mafoti.
Oh, Mafoti is now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was Mandla. There was this other... It's Scott, or maybe I'm messing up his name. Rasta dude, that guy, really funny guy.
All right.
You know, and then I'm not sure if I'm skipping any other younger guy.
But anyway, you don't have to name all of them. But then I just want to get the idea.
So the idea is, after the show, I met William Nyandoro and Memory Kumbota, and they're like, you know what? These older guys, what did you think? I'm like, no, for me, this is how I understood it. The young guys have come up. They've improved so much.
Yes.
The older guys have been sitting in a comfort zone for a long time.
Yeah.
You spoke Zim Comedy.
Yes.
And you spoke Carl. You spoke Clive. You spoke Ndandi. You spoke Q. There's these names that you mentioned. Handful of names. But now, and I think they got comfortable.
Yeah.
With that, to the point that they got to a point where their art wasn't developing as it should, and you had these younger guys aspiring to be great and working hard all the time.
So they did well.
They did more very well. For me, the younger guys were the highlight of my. I didn't hate going to that show because the younger guys sort of like showed up. They made the show great.
I saw a tweet, so talking about that, I saw a tweet, someone saying that Carl has been repeating jokes since 1980, ever since we gained independence in Zimbabwe. So it's one of the Itai Muroi, he was here before on the show.
Yeah.
He tweeted something like that, like, I'm really getting bored of Carl because he keeps repeating the same jokes over and over again.
I don't think he's repeating the same jokes.
Because recycling it.
Recycling a style.
Okay.
But now it's also comedy is also tricky, in the sense that some geographies allow for someone to use the same material over and over again. Zimbabwe is a very small space with a very limited number of art spaces.
So should where we recycle people then?
Perform, which is where I'm saying. They have to work extra hard in the sense that everywhere you go, you're almost going to watch every cult show that he does in Bulawayo. You won't miss any of them, you see? So if you were there at the last show, which was a couple of months ago, and then you come to this other show, also, how much do you think he would have evolved that space?
No, I get that. But also, this is where the content producers come in. Like people that gather stuff for you. Because I think what we need to also understand as people in the creative space and artists is that you need to work with a team. You can't do everything by yourself. So why doesn't he get people that gather information for him, that gather some of these things, and you have sort of like content producers? Because you can't do everything by yourself.
Yeah, but that also comes with understanding what comedy is. It's not every comedy writer out there
all right.
who can actually write comedy okay. for a comic.
All right.
You get my point?
Okay.
Where comedy is a fusion of both art and personality. How many people can say, okay, I get who Carl is. I think I can write jokes for him. Yeah. Maybe he's tried getting people like that.
Or maybe never
and it doesn't. Maybe it's not working. Because now, what I was going to say is, you get a country like South Africa.
Yeah.
Where Trevor Noah can perform in a particular place in Joburg.
Yes.
And not perform there for a number of years.
Mm.
Because there's so many spaces, so many platforms.
Yeah.
The next time he goes back there, I was watching a Dave Chappelle show where he was performing somewhere in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And he had not been to that city in like over 8 years or so. So imagine when he goes back there, obviously he's got new stuff. You know, but if he went back there 2 months later, you know.
Okay. If you're listening to the show, you should be listening to the show, actually. The hashtag is GTEEVibe. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com and also at GilmoreTEE. And Tswalelo, we need to promote him at Umelapi.
Yeah, 2018, I'm taking over. 2018. It's going to be the Tswalelo UMoreTEE vibe.
The Tswalelo UMoreTEE vibe. I like what Tinashe spoke about. She spoke about the fact that we have the capacity in terms of the standard of our art in Zimbabwe, but then there's no financial return. What should we do in our arts sector to actually have a financial return?
Personally, I was mentioning this with talking about homecoming, where local artists need to up their game, you know, in terms of... Because at the end of the day, there is no question with Bulawayo and having the capacity to produce good quality art.
What about the rest of Zimbabwe?
I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for the rest of Zimbabwe.
No, I can speak. Mm-hmm. I was at the carnival and I saw Amara performing. Do you know her performance was high energy, more than even Trezor? Trezor has been going to the carnival every single year. And this time, I think for me, Trezor, I mean, I appreciate your work, but then I really didn't think it was up to scratch. But Amara, on the other hand, she shocked a lot of people. Meaning, the capacity is there, or most of our artists are working extremely hard, but then maybe, do we have enough platforms for that? Are they being remunerated enough for what they are putting in?
But who's supposed to remunerate the artists? That's my question. See, art is an independent sort of a practice, right? You have to formulate ways to make money for yourself.
All right.
No one is supposed to pay you.
Okay.
No corporate is supposed to sponsor you. Anybody who's getting endorsements from corporates is because corporates, one, see a relation between the person and their brand.
Yeah.
Us working with this person will not kill our brand.
Yeah.
See, you want Vaseline to sponsor you. Vaseline's way, way bigger than GilmoreTEE.
Yeah, but maybe I use Vaseline
what
to wank a lot.
Well, you might get them new clients, new perfect clients, you know. Who misuse the brand.
No, but I understand what you're saying.
You see, so we have to acknowledge that we're at a space in Zimbabwe where we may have been developing, but many of these corporate brands have been developing way before we're born, for way longer. And suddenly, because Tswalelo, this award winning something, and suddenly corporates are supposed to put backing into me. People are supposed to come to pay my show. What is it that I'm creating? Because once you create the right thing, there's no question to it. People will pay for it.
Yeah.
But as long as people are not yet paying for it, ask yourself. Maybe sometimes it's a very great thing.
Yes, yes.
But it's not worth anything financially.
So how then do we get to monetize what we are doing or what we do as artists?
I don't think as artists we are supposed to monetize.
So how then do we? Artists. Okay.
Because you didn't go to school to learn how to monetize things.
You went
to school to just practice your art and know how to do it right and greatly. Now, this is where 2018, you start forming these cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
You get your own financial chinamasa there.
All right.
You get your own, you know...
WhatsApp group.
Yeah, you know, people, because we have a lot of people, also academic people, educated people, who are into marketing, publicity, and stuff like that. It's time we started building those teams.
So, meaning we have to approach our art as businesses, meaning you get someone who's into branding, someone who can... has the links to come and join your team so that you can get money from what you do.
Unfortunately, we have to do that.
Yeah. You unfortunately,
know? Yeah. Well, I don't believe in art being a commodity on a shelf.
Mm.
I'm an artist purely from an arts point. I understand we live in a capitalist time. Uh-huh. We need to survive.
Mm.
And the cat with the most money, you know, gets to live lavishly. Mm. People believe in money. The more money you look like you have, the more support they get. In Ndebele, they say, Mali, Mali.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think Casper is filling up FNB because he filled up the dome.
Yes.
Not because he's been upping his game art-wise.
Okay.
His music's still the same.
Oh, is it?
You know, I can't say I've heard a new hit from Casper since when, but he's been working hard and filled up the dome.
Okay.
And aimed for something else, pointed at a higher, you know, standard. And people said, we'll support you. You showed us you can work hard.
So
we'll work with you.
So do we lack the vision as artists in Zimbabwe? Is that what you're saying? Like a bigger vision?
I don't know. I'm more dystopian, dude. I mean, I wouldn't have the answers, especially when it comes to the commercialization of something. I'm anti-commercialization.
Okay. But then if you're anti-commercialization, then how then do we sustain ourselves?
Because it's commercialization that is killing our art. Look at our hip-hop. I've always spoken about our hip-hop.
Mm.
Our hip-hop is a copy paste of South Africa and the US. It's nothing to do with who we are. Look at all our art. When it's commercialized, it's watered down.
So then, okay.
It's nothing to really write home about. And then we blame people for not supporting it.
So then, how then do we, because you spend so much time, you spend energy and resources doing this art, how then is it supposed to pay back, or how are you supposed to return those that capital that has been put in it?
My point is, do it right. I'm the kind of guy who listens to people like MF Doom, who nobody cares about or gives a fuck who they are. But MF Doom is the one dude who's going to be around long after hip-hop is dead.
Okay.
Why? Because he's practiced and made his art, whether or not it made money for him. Today, MF Doom's got a cult following. We follow MF Doom religiously. We'll buy everything MF Doom puts out. Because that guy's managed to put his art on a certain level. I'm that kind of guy. I listen to Saul Williams. I follow the punk side of things.
Oh, he follows me on Twitter, by the way.
Saul Williams. Which is really messed up. Because he doesn't follow me.
No, maybe you're not.
And I introduced you to Saul Williams.
Okay. Talking about the standard of our arts, your thoughts, because we heard from Unku, from Tinashe, from Heather, from St. Vowels, and some of them are saying, yeah, we're getting there, we have the capacity, we have good quality, it's all mixed up stuff. And some are saying that we have such good quality that we go outside and we sell out and we win awards and things like that. What are your thoughts on the standard of our art in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, standard-wise, I mean, experience-wise, people have been practicing, people have gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the term standard means in this context.
All right.
In the sense that, what are we referring to? Like, are we referring to the quality of our mediums? Are we referring to the creative aspect and creatively, what is standard? In the sense that, for me, the art is not artsy enough. What we're producing locally is not artsy enough. We are producing stuff to sell. We're not producing art
commercializing
to stand
it.
The test of time, to play the purpose of what art is supposed to do. You know, I've been to SA and I've seen art. I've seen a lot of commercialized stuff.
I've been to SA. I'm like, oh, you've never been.
You know, I'm saying, there are people whom you're you consume and you say, now this is an artist. Mm. And then there's somebody you understand, okay, they just made a hit. Yeah. Or they're just, you know,
like,
you know, that kind of stuff. Even you look at internationally, the world over.
Yes.
You look at the film industry. Look at the film industry. You get a lot of blockbusters. Mm-hmm. Transformers, Star Wars, this is blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get other people. Darren Aronofsky that makes Mother, which is more towards an art film. You look at a lot of other, you know, filmmakers from other parts of the world. This could be China. This could be Europe. They make art. They don't just... Terrence Malick will make art. You see? So those are different. And for me, that is how I would measure standard. He's not as successful as George Lucas or Michael Bay,
right,
money-wise.
Uh-huh.
You know? But they are the ones who are making the art that make this art live longer,
okay,
inspire more.
So they're the ones that... have the post that made the post. What you saw?
Yeah, something like that.
That thing.
Ah, man. How can a local artist benefit from these international artists? You know, that's the way they set up these things, and artists just form up. No artist gets a bigger paycheck than an invited artist. And there's no invited artist who performs for more than 1.5 hours. The rest of the time is located to this local artist, but the discrepancy in the money now is not fair. AKA was saying he can't be the opening act for a foreign artist in his own country, and that's how it rolls, you know. So it takes artists to also refuse these things for change to happen. That's what art associations are made for, not what we see with art associations as entertaining into WhatsApp groups for jokes and gossip.
Unfortunately, our art scene is not like every other normal art scene. In many countries, you find that locals are celebrated first before we celebrate internationals. But when it comes to Bulawayo, for instance, international or foreign acts or outside acts are celebrated more than locals. It's not like locally we do not have quality acts. We do, like I've already said. But if it's Jah Prayzah coming from Harare or Winkede, he will be celebrated more than Jay's Marabini or Sandra Ndebele. Even though both do quality acts, still the one from outside of Bulawayo will pick up venues. One day we will be paid by our arts, but for now, to be honest, we love the art more than it pays us.
From the local market, to be honest, it's foreigners who are benefiting the most. The international act has to be a headliner before anyone can even consider giving the local act anything. And of course, they'll say there's exposure, but at a certain point, one is exposed and you just have to pay them what they're worth. So we're now too used to free shows from local acts.
Well, so I have a question. Are we not being crybabies when we talk about this issue of local acts and international acts not having a balanced sort of like support from the audience and the organizers themselves?
Well, this is what I've been trying to say, probably failing to say, where my point is, what makes anybody buy art? Yes, we might say our standards are up there now.
Yeah.
But if somebody is still not into you, because a new artist is going to come out of South Africa, a new artist is going to come out internationally, mm-hmm, and people are going to be into that.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, from my perspective, in these other countries, people actually invest way, way more into a piece of art than we are prepared to do.
Okay.
I provide services that are supposed to create or promote art in my other life.
How many do you have?
Quite a number of them. And you meet an artist that who is not willing to invest in their own art. They are not willing to pay to get their idea turned into something of good quality.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean paying me alone, but being able to understand the steps you need to go through, the amount of time investment you need to put.
So then we have to blame ourselves then for that, because it's the same thing I was saying, that we are crying about, you know, not benefiting as local artists from events, festivals, whatever, because maybe we haven't put enough work into our products, into ourselves, into our image, into our music or whatever that we are selling to the world. So at the end of it all, the blame has to come back to us. Why we're not being consumed, why we're not receiving enough recognition, is because we haven't invested enough in ourselves.
Yes, and it's that and more.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, when you're a musician and you create a song, you compose it, you write its lyrics, you arrange it, you get a producer, you record it, and it's complete, it's put on a disc. That is the beginning of the journey of that. That's not the end.
That's just the beginning.
Most of these artists' songs will end up on WhatsApp somewhere, trolling people's WhatsApps, filling up people's memory cards, finishing people's data. But my point is, that's the beginning of that song's journey, right? And that journey is determined by you, the artist. Where does the song go? And if you recorded that song for free, are you going to be very particular about that song creating returns? You're not going to be particular about it.
Okay.
You're probably going to want a free music video.
Again.
And if somebody, you consult somebody and they give you a quotation and you send that emoji that has the wide open eyes.
But listen up, the thing is also, we have a lot of arts associations, and Vals just mentioned something about these arts associations turning into WhatsApp groups full of gossip and full of just, you know, messages that don't actually build anything to the artist. Are our arts associations doing enough to also promote the local arts in Zimbabwe and make them more relevant internationally or in other parts of the continent?
The reason why I say every Zimbabwean who's been in Zimbabwe for the past 37 years deserves a package is many of these associations are now just alive to try and make money or earn a living for somebody. But the arts associations used to work.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Right now in this day and age, they are dead. You know, they are not doing what they are supposed to be doing.
So then,
an arts association is constituted. What do you guys who are part of this association have in your constitution? And is the association still serving that constitution?
Yeah, true.
You know?
I guess maybe because there's been so much that has happened in the country, we have just lost all that. Like, people are not even concentrating. They can't even hold them accountable for anything because we don't know much about it. And we don't know what constitutes the association. And at the same time, we're also concentrating on other things that will bring bread and butter to our tables or in our rooms or in our houses or whatever you stay in.
Fela said, uno no go no.
This is like the second time you've said it on the show.
I'm always going to say that. You need to knowledge yourself about these things. If you are serious about being an artist and this art being all that you have, you need to knowledge yourself. If there is nothing to know, create something to know. You are a creative. Create something to know.
Come on, Pastor, you're preaching good.
Amen.
Amen. The exposure. Let's talk about exposure. You know, in South Africa, we had AKA refusing to open for any international acts because he said he's just as big as them. So what's this thing about exposure? Because a lot of our artists, especially the upcoming ones, they suffer from being given this, oh, we're going to give you exposure, and they leave that place with only maybe a bottle of something, if not just a glass of something. And you see them walking back home, you see them still struggling because all they seem to do is just for exposure.
AKA is not one of my favorite artists.
Neither
but I'll say this. That's a man who knows his worth. You know, I don't know if he knew his worth when he was being clapped by Black Coffee, but for making that decision, that's a man who knows his worth. You know, I mean, you need as an artist to make a bold. We suffer from the groupie syndrome. If Casper's my favorite artist and he comes here and I'm supposed to open, I'm more excited about being in the presence of Casper and taking selfies for my Twitter for chicks to like me than I was with Casper. More than I'm interested or excited about doing business with them.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to watch that groupie syndrome that we have.
Mm.
Where I'm more excited to be around Mosquito or to be around Zodo or Abantu more than I'm excited about doing business connections. But if I'm a business person, I'm thinking business. How can we synergize and make business of this non-underwear wearing thing that she has going? That is so much of a trend and is making her so much money. It's even getting high people in Zimbabwean government
excited.
I mean,
of course they'll get excited in there, you know?
I mean, it's not like Abby does every woman in Zimbabwe wear underwear.
Maybe they wear
that we're not so excited about, you know, and that kind of thing. We should be excited about that too. I mean, yeah. So this is my point. I'm saying my art is how I earn my living. Mm-hmm. It's my business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of being excited and, you know, I'm jizzing all over about being around my favorite artist.
Yeah.
I need to also figure out how can we synergize, create business. If I'm true. Like I've been saying, I'm more of an artist. I love art.
Mm.
I meet Saul Williams. Mm. I'm concerned about how can we create art together.
Much, yeah.
Yes, I'm excited about meeting of you. Course, you're my favorite, but how can we work?
Yeah, let's work.
You know, that's what it's supposed to be about.
So every time you're somewhere, you know, like in fashion, they say every time you walk out, you're on the runway, meaning every time you are somewhere, you're going somewhere, you're always on the job.
You're
so we need to be like that as artists. As much as you get excited of seeing Black Coffee, Prince KB, Amara Brown, or whoever these artists are, we need to be able to also realize the business side of it, or
the
how we can create synergy with these big artists.
Yes.
Right, so hit us up again on our social media platforms. The hashtag is GTEEVibe, and our Twitter handles are @CliffCentralCom and @GilmoreTEE, and also @KumelaP. Hey, today you received such marketing.
Yeah, you've been shortchanging me these past two seasons.
Shortchanging you. So we'd love to hear from you about this and many other things that we've spoken about on the show. So just hit us up, and we want to hear what you think.
As far as foreign organizers are concerned, I think there isn't any problem in them coming to have gigs here and make money here, just as long as it benefits local artists as well. We don't have too many local promoters or organizers here, so it would be good. It is good that we have foreigners coming to make money here. But it should benefit local artists at the end of the day.
Foreign organizers making money locally, it's sad, but you can't blame them because they're specific about their goal. They want to make money. And there's an opportunity because the audience values international art more than local art.
These foreign organizers should put some respect on us, you know? The worst was when the audacity of Mosquito to say, money, and he's doing this for the locals, to uplift the locals. Are you not selling tickets? Are we not packing up your events, dude? Huh? And which locals are you saying you're uplifting? Which locals can raise their hands and say they've benefited from those shows? He hasn't even picked one artist to work with in all the years he's come and hosted his shows in Zimbabwe. What is he doing? Is he still searching? Like, what's the fuss of Kalawa if it does not benefit our local community except by draining our pockets? That stage should be an opportunity to go far.
Are you not selling tickets? The guy is funny. But you know what? The most important thing that they mentioned, Tinashe and St. Val's, was that also we need to recognize opportunities as artists. Like when you look at it and see an opportunity, find a gap and see how you can benefit from that, and also make business from whatever that you do.
Yes, I would say again, a third unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate we're in an age where art is for sale.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be in the business of art,
mm-hmm.
you really need to recognize opportunities. You really need to utilize these opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
You really need to be smart. street smart. A lot of these rappers be claiming to be street smart. What does street smart mean? It doesn't mean you smoke the most weed, you drink the most alcohol, you
sleep with
the most chicks. No, street smart means you know how to make something of yourself.
Yes.
Recognize opportunities, know how to fit in and also excel. You know, prop yourself up, you know, next to the next person.
Come on. Today, like, you're on a heater, like a dog. No, not like in that sense, but you're on a hit.
It takes one to recognize.
But, you know, there's this whole job creation that some of them touched on. I think he touched on that. Mm-hmm. He says that, for example, with Kalawa, I don't know if there's much.
Is either a he?
It's a she.
Why I said she. You said he said that.
He? Okay. Yeah. No, she said
recognize.
That. Sorry, Hida. Sorry. But she said she spoke about that, the whole job creation thing. Does Kalawa actually create anything at all? That, or they just come and take money and go?
Well,
as a foreign organizer, because we can't name them local organizers, are they?
No, but they are working with, like, the top of the poster says Exmo Squad and that.
Oh, so that's a local.
I think the Exmo Squad are locals who are actually, you know, putting this together in partnership with Kalawa. It's just Kalawa artists coming in.
Okay, to make money and just go.
Yes, but Exmo Squad are a collective of locals, I suppose, who organize these events.
Yeah, but I also feel like when these events happen, they need to benefit a lot just for the locals. Like, I was at the Vic Falls Carnival, like I mentioned earlier, and I spoke to a few people, like young people on the streets and some business people in Vic Falls. The Vic Falls Carnival has actually become such a very business and touristic kind of activity that happens, because you find that people that have stores there and shops there, they're actually making sales. People with restaurants, they're making sales. They employ locals to sell the drinks at the venue and to do other things. As much as they come in as foreign organizers and loot money and go back, there's some sort of creation or benefit that happens to the community.
But I guess also that's what we want as Zimbabweans, right? Mm-hmm. When they say it 51-49% business and made it a law, mm-hmm. we had problems with that,
yeah.
because it's chasing away investors.
Yes.
Now it's open, it's free for all.
Yes.
You know, you get to partner with whom you want to partner with.
Uh-huh.
You know, so at the end of the day, I think that expands our market and all that, and our possibilities of business. That's what we wanted.
That's what we want.
We should be able to fare in that.
But we actually just have to shut down the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we haven't divorced MTV Sugar, just in case you were wondering why you haven't had the MTV 5 Minutes with Sugar. So next week, we're going to bring back 5 Minutes with Sugar, and we're just creating awareness around HIV and AIDS in the African continent. And if you're listening, thank you so much for tuning in, and Happy New Year to everybody who was listening. Shout out to Tinashe Tafrenyika, Senvaos, Nkunkala, Heaven Yangara. Swarelo, shout out to you too.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Finally, I've said shout out to you.
Yes, you should recognize.
I should recognize you. And yeah. To all of you who are listening, thank you very much for tuning in to the Gilmore Tea Vibe, the very first show for 2018. Please be in touch with us on our social media platforms. The hashtag is GTWE Vibe. And you can tweet us at cliffcentral.com and at GilmoreTWE. And of course, at Umela P, just in case he feels he's been left out.
Yeah. Yes.
This is the Gilmore Tea Vibe. My name is Gilmore T, the global citizen.
This is CliffCentral.com.